Delighted to welcome into our studio for the first time John Hutchinson, an organist who will be performing this Sunday. The concert is at the United Methodist Church at 2 o'clock, and John Hutchinson has come to us from Cumming, Georgia. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you here. Now, you've come to us from Cumming, Georgia, but your roots are right here in Las Cruces, I understand.
Well, that's correct. Actually, I was born in New Mexico. I was born in Hobbs and have also lived in Artesia, but I went to Alameda Junior High and I went to Mayfield High School, where I was the band major for all 3 years that I was in school there. So yes, I'm very familiar with this area.
You started playing piano in elementary school, and then you switched to organ and studied with Janet Lohman, who continues to teach here in the area. So tell us, what were your first musical influences? Why did you choose organ, and also what did you play in band?
Well, my musical influences are my family. My mother is a trained singer and my father's a trained pianist. So I grew up with music in the house, which was the most influential thing for me. When I moved here, I had never heard a pipe organ. And the organ that I'm going to play this coming Sunday afternoon at St. Paul's is the first pipe organ I ever heard. I thought it was the most amazing, magnificent thing I'd ever heard in my life. I was in the sixth grade. And the organist at the time was Dr. David Hoag, who is now deceased. But he was a fascinating man who just was so encouraging to me and invited me to sit next to him and watch him play. I remember asking him if he would give me lessons, and he said, "Oh no, but I'm happy for you to sit here and listen, but you need to talk to Janet Lohman." So that's how I got into taking lessons with Janet.
Huh. And a sixth grader sitting at a very big organ, just tell us, what was that like?
Well, you know, it's hard to describe, because a pipe organ is not like any other instrument. It's about 2,300 years old, which is considerably older than the piano, which is about 200 years old. And all the different sounds, and the thought that every single one of those pipes is its own voice making its own sound. And the organ at St. Paul's has about 1,300 pipes to it. So, you know, it's really kind of interesting. And once I had a chance to go inside and see all of them lined up on the chests, I was even more fascinated.
Hmm. So at the same time, you were studying in band.
That's correct. And yes, to answer your earlier question, I played saxophone in marching band, but I never actually played saxophone in marching band, because being selected as the drum major, I never had a chance to actually do that. But in concert band, I played the bassoon, which I continued to do through my first couple of years of college.
Okay, so you went to school in Texas. I just learned about this scholarship, the Norden Scholarship at Texas Christian University.
That's correct.
So that's a big honor. And you were focusing on organ, I
assume? Yes, I was. At the time, TCU had one of the leading organ programs in the South, and I was very fortunate to go there. I'd already made up my mind that I was going to another school. But once I visited the two schools, there was no question where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And I had a wonderful experience there, did both my bachelor's and master's degrees there, and worked for a wonderful church that had a magnificent organ, as well as working for an organ builder. In fact, I worked for two different organ builders. Huh. And learned all the process of how to put them together and take care of them and so on and so forth. So that was a good background for me as well.
Yeah, I should say, I can't imagine what goes into the making of a contemporary pipe organ.
Well, I can tell you that it's 90% of it is just construction work, and it's very dirty. I would go home every day with sawdust in my hair from cutting everything out. Huh. and my hands dried out because of handling all of the metal pipes. The metal would leach the oils out of your hands and dry them out terribly. So it was hard work, all the wiring that we had to do. And really, the organ didn't play until about the last 5 to 6% of the project. Huh. So, you know, it was a really glorious day when you finally were able to turn it on and say, well, let's hear what it sounds like.
Yeah, I should say, did you get to try them out then?
I did. And I loved that day when it came so that we could really hear what we had done.
All right, let's talk a little bit about organ music. I think people have a perception, a misperception, that it's all church music and it's all old. Let's say Bach and Baroque era, even though, of course, composers all the way through have written for organ, and there's quite an interesting tradition, particularly with movies, and we're going to get to that shortly,
yes,
of the 20th century and beyond. So tell us a little bit about the range of organ music.
Well, it covers everything. And it depends largely on the instruments, because more than any other instrument, if you play a saxophone, it sounds like a saxophone. If you play a piano, it sounds like a piano. However, every organ sounds very different. There are at least 3 pipe organs here in town, and if you were to play the 3 of them side by side, no one would mistake one for the other. They all have their own personality. So some music sounds better than other music does. And with that in mind, people wrote for the instruments that they had at hand. The music that I've selected for the program Sunday, I selected specifically because I thought, you know, it'll work on this instrument. There were some other pieces that I could have played that I knew just wouldn't be successful, but I think these will be. So, you know, yes, the range of music is quite wide. And the one thing my father always says, no one objects to organ music. They just object to bad organ music. And so I'm afraid many people have heard bad organ music for their lives and they think, well, this must be for funeral parlors and that's about it. But I don't believe in that.
So you just raised an interesting point, which is, of course, pianists have to get used to the whatever piano they'll be performing on. They don't get to haul around their instrument. But if the sound is that different from organ to organ, as you're suggesting, then what happens when you go to a place where you haven't yet played on the organ?
Well, you can certainly have some surprises, and I've had a few of those along the way. I've had organs that broke in the middle of concerts, that a note would stick on and we'd have to stop the proceedings and try to get everything back on track. I've played organs that were very, very tiny, and I've played organs that were very large. You know, that's the other thing. Again, pianos may vary a little bit from instrument to instrument, but organs can be, you know, anything from something that will fit in your living room to something that will take up 7 floors of a building.
Indeed. Wow. So let's talk about the your interest in film.
Yes. Well, when I really started to get into the organ, I learned of a place called Organ Stop Pizza, which was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I just had to visit. Well, it was the home of a theater organ, which really has very little in common with the traditional pipe organ. They both have pipes, but it's like saying, well, the accordion and the piano are the same, aren't they? They both have keyboards. Well, no, they're not the same at all, and they don't sound the same. But I learned through my visits to Organ Stop that those instruments originally were installed in theaters and were used to accompany silent movies. So I decided, well, I'll just figure out how to do that. Well, I was a rather brash young man and had no idea that I had no idea. So it took a lot of work, but the very first movie I ever accompanied was The Phantom of the Opera. And I put the score together myself. I drew on all kinds of sources. I'd never actually seen anyone do this. I'd never heard anyone do this. But I had friends who said, well, I think you might use this piece or you might use that piece. And they were very helpful, and it came off fairly well. I did that when I lived in El Paso.
This was to a silent movie.
That's correct.
The
original Lon Chaney movie from 1925. Oh, I've now accompanied it probably 15 to 20 times.
I saw it when I was a teenager. It's been decades, but boy, That has some great possibilities.
It really does. And you know, in terms of the area, since El Paso has restored the Plaza Theater, they now have the original organ that was there, and it's been restored and, in fact, enlarged. And I've had the great privilege of playing it a number of times before movies at the Plaza Film Festival. Huh. And they have been doing that movie, The Phantom of the Opera, every year for the past couple of years. And they may be doing it again this year. And if anybody's around, you really should go. It's very good.
It is fun. And have you accompanied any other of the great silent movies on the organ?
The only major films that I have accompanied are Nosferatu, which is the original Dracula, uh-huh. and a film called The Cat and the Canary, which was also kind of a haunted house movie. And then I've done several Laurel and Hardy shorts and different short films, but not any major full-length films. It takes a long time to prepare constant music for a 90-minute film.
Oh, absolutely. This is a tour de force to be able to do that, I think. All right, we've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about what you do most of the time, which is that you're in Cumming, Georgia at the United Methodist Church.
That's right, First Methodist Church of Cumming, Georgia, which is an Atlanta suburb just north of the city. And I am the director of music and arts and also work in the community with the different schools. We are very fortunate there to have really one of the finest organs in the metro area, as well as a wonderful room. So people are always coming to our facility for concerts, and I run quite a big concert series for that.
And then do you perform every Sunday as well?
I do. I play for the services every week, as well as direct the choir. I'm what they call an organist choir master, which means that I have to sit and play and conduct at the same time.
Right. We didn't talk at all about your singing and choral career and conducting career.
Well, that, in fact, is what I really do most of the time. But I make sure that I leave enough time to do the organ as well.
Huh. And do you have to prepare new music each week?
Yes, most of the time. Now, of course, we do have a lot of anthems and obviously hymns that we repeat. But the only way I can keep myself on track is if I make sure that I'm learning something new. So, in fact, the program Sunday will have a new piece of music. You'll be able to tell which one it is by the number of wrong notes in it.
The program on Sunday is at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, and it's the first annual Ben and Janice Boykin Organ Series concert, endowed by Ben and Janice Boykin at St. Paul's. And John Hutchinson, who's my guest, will be performing. That's at 2 o'clock. We still have a couple of minutes left, and let's just talk quickly about what the music is on the programs, because it ranges a few centuries.
It does, and I am a firm believer that the music for the organ should reach the everyday person and not be performed for other organists or music scholars. So there really will be something for everybody. And I have a set of variations for pedals alone, and fortunately they're going to be setting up a camera so that you will be able to see and project my feet on the wall.
Wow.
So you'll be able to see me play all of those. Then I'm going to close with a wonderful piece called The Grand Sonata No. 2, which was written by Eugene Thayer and dedicated to General Ulysses S. Grant, so before he became president. And it was a very popular thing of the day to compose music based on patriotic themes. So the first movement of this sonata is based on My Country, 'Tis of Thee. And the last movement is another set of variations, and it's on the Star-Spangled Banner. So definitely pieces that people will know.
All right, and that's, so we're talking there, late 19th century. And, of course, you've got music of Bach, as we mentioned, and also, what else do we have? Charles Callahan and Theodore Dubois. And so quite a range.
That's right. And there's also... people have told me over the years that organ music is for the birds, so I am doing a set of three pieces that are bird pieces: the hen, the swan, and the aviary.
My guest has been John Hutchinson, and I thank you so much for coming on to KRWG.
Thank you for having me.
The concert is this Sunday, October 14th at 2 o'clock at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. It will be a concert of organ music and, as you heard, very wide-ranging.